Nightlife with James Finlay. This is ABC Radio.
Imagine stripping off, striking a pose, and holding still in the middle of a room full of strangers staring intently at your body. This is the job of life drawing models. In a moment, you'll hear from a sought-after life model in Melbourne, Felipe. And I'd love to hear from you too, if you've been a life model. How did it go? How did you get into it? Or maybe you're an artist. How have you worked with life models in the past? How do you do it now? 1-300-800-222. Or you can text in 0467-922-702. First, though, let's go back a bit, because artists have relied on models for centuries, but little is known about many of them, often going unnamed or referred to by their first name only. Well, Deborah Beck is from the National Art School in Sydney and is determined to change that. She's researching who these people were and their lives beyond the canvas. Deborah, welcome to Nightlife.
Hello. Hi, James.
Why did you want to know more about these artist models?
Well, I was a life drawing teacher myself for over 20 years, and I met lots of the models, and I often wondered about their lives. And I'd often work with them regularly over quite a period of years and talk to them in their rest breaks, and they told me a bit about their lives, but I always wanted to find out more. That they often were struggling artists themselves, or students, performers, writers, many musicians. But then I wondered what happened to them for the rest of their lives, and so I decided to write about it.
Right. Was there a particular painting or artwork that prompted you to investigate these people, or the person, you know, depicted?
No, not a particular one. I mean, I've known, because I've worked with models, I've even met some of these early models I'm writing about in their later years. I knew, for instance, there's one named Rita who worked for Norman Lindsay, and I've knew the paintings, regular paintings that she was in, but not a particular one, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, okay. So you're focusing models active from the 20s to the 1970s in Sydney. What role did these models, who are often unnamed, what role did they play in the art world at the time?
Well, it's a vital role, and it's that, you know, artists are still dependent on this group of people when they need to observe and depict the human body from life, because there's not really any other way of doing it apart from photos, which is not anywhere as good. So figurative artists use them to paint from life. Art students progressed from drawing plaster casts to drawing and painting directly from life models in order to learn vital skills of anatomy, proportion, composition, all the skills that you need to learn about how to draw, and portraits as well, and they did quite a few portraits, still do portraits from life as well.
Yeah, okay. You've identified about 80 models, seem to be quite a diverse selection. What are some of the reasons that people started life modelling?
Generally, it was perceived as an easy way to make money, because you didn't have to have any particular skills, but you had to not worry about taking your clothes off or being shy.
Yeah.
And consequently, a lot of people who were very confident with their bodies, dancers, actors, and music, you know, people who are used to being on the stage were quite happy to, and still are, will model. Many models got jobs just by word of mouth, filling in for a friend, and then they found that they enjoyed it. But because I didn't need the experience, but they just started by any art class that was available for them. And many end up being professional models who took great pride in their work, actually. Yeah.
Was it well paid?
No, never been well paid. never. I was absolutely pathetically paid at the beginning.
Wow.
But more than, you know, waitressing or working McDonald's now, it's a better hourly rate, as you would hope.
But, wow, yeah. Which is surprising given, well, I guess the rarity these models kind of were by the sounds.
They weren't that rare. I mean, there was a group of them that would tell each other about jobs and share the jobs. And they were always in demand at the art school. So there were a group of them that worked all over the city, actually all over Sydney. Mm.
Okay. Well, let's go into some of the people that you've researched. Barbara Blackman, describe her experience.
She was actually a friend of Lillian Roxon, and Lillian was working at the art school as a model, and she just told Barbara one day that it was her turn to go in because she didn't feel like doing it. And she said, she describes it as a huge shock. The shock happens the first time. You feel it must be a dream, the kind you just can't wake up from. But then you become real, and that you're no ordinary undressed damsel. You are a statue in flesh and bone, a landscape in anatomical form, a still life in living state, and a traditional life class model. So she actually became very well known as a model, and modelled for her husband, Charles Blackman, but also many artists after she moved down to Melbourne. But she started modelling in Sydney.
Yeah, right. Charles Blackman, of course, a very famous painter.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Right. So she became his model for many years.
Was it how they met?
They met at a party in Sydney.
Okay. And it wasn't through her life modelling.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
You mentioned Lillian Roxon, who got her friend Barbara into it. Why was Lillian Roxon so in demand in the 40s and 50s?
Well, she actually later became known as a legendary rock music journalist and critic in New York. But before this, she was studying at Sydney Uni and needed an income. So she thought she'd try life modelling after she met a model at a party. And she really enjoyed the work and said in her diary, it was, as I mentioned, it's better than waitressing. But although she was quite self-conscious about her weight, she was a bit overweight throughout her life, but she was really popular, mainly for sculpture and painting poses because what they called then a Rubenesque figure. So students in particular need to learn to draw all types of body types and models of all ages too.
Yeah. Right. Deborah Beck is with you. She's at the National Art School in Sydney here on Nightlife on ABC Radio, and you're hearing about the history of some of the life models in the past through from the 1920s through to the 70s. Deborah is researching them for work she's doing. In a few moments, you will meet a current life model to hear about their experience. I'd also love to hear from you. If you have been or are a life model, why have you got into it? What is it that you love doing about it? 1-300-800-222 is the number to call. 1-300-800-222, or you can text in 0467-922-702. Okay, Deborah, let's talk about Rita Lee. She was often employed by a couple of artists. How important was she to Max Dupain and Norman Lindsay?
Well, Max Dupain didn't really employ Rita as a life model, but he did book her when he needed to photograph a beautiful pair of hands to display jewellery or gloves for advertising. We've been trying to find the photos of her in the State Library, and it's often hard to identify, but if you go through the negatives, you can see her face, and then you know that it's her hands that are in the photos.
Right, yeah, that so would be difficult. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a bit tricky. But she did pose many times and is recognisable in the Norman Lindsay paintings, as I mentioned before. So She worked for him for a period of over 6 years, and she appears in many of his better-known paintings. She used to go up to Springwood, to his home in the Blue Mountains, and model up there, sometimes staying for a week while he finished a painting. And he drew and he painted and he photographed her many times. So he did photograph her as well.
Yeah, okay. Look, you got to meet Madame Lush and interview her. Tell us what she told you.
Well, I also drew her myself because I was a student when she was modelling. Yeah, so I was a student at the National Art School myself in the 70s when she was modelling. But when I did meet her again, it was quite fascinating because I knew her in her younger years when she was Madame Lash, but she's still as feisty as ever. I went to her house and interviewed her in her large studio on the top floor of her house last year, and she was painting when I arrived. So she's one of the artists who's continued to to paint and work as an artist right through her life. And she told me that it was when she was modelling that she realised that she could take on another guise, and it soon became a type of acting. She recalled the first time posing, and she said, well, I got nothing but compliments. They wanted me to come in again, and it went from there. And I was an art model for 7 years.
Wow.
So, yeah. So she was famous for her standing poses, and she said she had great pride in transcending the discomfort, which stood me in great stead for many years later as Madame Lash. So she didn't mind the pain. There you go.
Yeah, because, and we'll hear from Felipe in a moment about this, but I'd imagine when you're having to keep in such a still pose for what, 20-odd minutes, I'd say it's quite a skill, Deborah.
Yeah, you have to know how to I'm sure he'll tell you this, but, you know, you do have to know your body well, and you can get into poses that can be excruciating if you don't know how to hold them properly.
Now, beyond the art world, did most models prefer to keep their modelling work private? Is that why many were just known as their first name?
No, that wasn't the reason. It was some of them did keep it private, but many were quite proud and happy to see their image displayed in galleries. Families often didn't know that their family members were modelling, though, and some parents of the younger models insisted on going to the artist studios as chaperones, to, you know, when they first started, just to check it was all okay. We didn't know their names is that most of the artists didn't call them by their names in their paintings or their works. They just called them Rita, or, you know, there'd be just the one name, or even, you know, Odalisk or something really generic like that that you don't know who they are.
Yes,
but
right.
That's been quite tricky to find them.
Oh, gosh. Well, look, Deborah, it's been so great to chat with you this evening and talk about some of the research that you've been doing. Looking forward to hearing and seeing more, because you've got a talk coming up. The 7th. Oh, next Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Yes, yes. There's a symposium. So PIX magazine, which was active in the early, until about 1960 in Sydney, they had some wonderful photographers, and a lot of them used artist models in the images that are now held at the State Library of New South Wales. So there's a symposium on all day on the Friday the 7th at the State Library from 10 till 4. And they're talking about PIX magazine, but I'll be doing 20 minutes talking about the artist models on PIX.
Oh, very cool. Oh, look, Deborah, thank you so much, and talk to you again next time.
Okay, thank you.
Deborah Beck there, who's from the National Art School in Sydney. And, yeah, as you heard, if you're in Sydney, you can catch Deborah's talk at the State Library of New South Wales on Friday, the 7th of November, as part of a deep dive into PIX magazine. You're on ABC Radio. This is Nightlife. I'm James Finlay. And in just a moment, what is it like to be a life model today? We'll find out.
Worms, slime, and the secrets of the plant world.
Costa!
The Gardening Australia Junior podcast has brand new adventures for little ears.
Cool.
Search for it now on the ABC Listen app.
On ABC Radio, this is Nightlife with James Finlay.
Well, a few of you must be a little bit shy tonight. I was at least expecting at least one of you who might have done some life modelling in the past. 1-300-800-222. I'd love to hear your experience of it. You can also text in 0467 922 702. Hearing from you on the text line, Joe in Ballarat, you say, I was an art student in the 80s, did life drawing, great, enjoyed it, ended up as a potter. Fantastic. Thank you, Joe, for your text. 0467 922 702. Well, Felipe is based in Melbourne and is a life model there. Felipe, welcome to Nightlife.
Hello, James. Thank you so much. Such a pleasure to be here having a chat with you.
Tell me, how did you get into life modeling?
Well, I consider myself a storyteller, and I have always been passionate about life drawing classes. And when I moved here to Australia over 9 years ago, I finally got the chance to start working in this field. I don't know if you realize it by my accent, but I am from Brazil. I am Brazilian.
Yes. And
And when I first arrived here, my English was not very good. But I really wanted to work in an artistic environment, somewhere that I could be surrounded by artists and didn't have to talk much. So therefore, becoming a life model was perfect for that, because I love using my body to tell stories without words. And it was amazing. It's amazing to create that kind of expression, the experience for everyone in the room.
Right. So we kind of talked a little bit about this before, about how difficult it must be. How hard is it to pose about 20 minutes, right? You hold a pose?
Exactly. We start with what we call warm-up poses. So it can be 30 seconds, 1 minute, 5 minutes. So people who are drawing, they can warm up and then understand the figure that they are drawing. And then sometimes we have to hold poses for 20 minutes. And it's the maximum that it's allowed, because we have to look after our body, because our body is the tool that we use to work, right? So we have to be very conscious about not excruciate our body and be very wise with the poses. Of course, there are sometimes we ended up choosing a pose that we think, wow, this pose will be wonderful. But then after 5 minutes, you are completely regretted and shaking and sweating and everyone is staring at you. So most of the times I think, oh my gosh, why did I choose this pose?
How do you go about choosing poses? Do you do it with the person who's running the class, or do you come with ideas? How do you choose your poses?
Yes, it's a very collaborative environment. Usually we can choose our poses, but when there's a team, for example, when it's inspired by a movie or inspired by a director or fashion, you know, of course that we can discuss some poses to recreate scenes, for example. But usually I try to think about the poses 1 day prior. But then when it's happening, you know, we just say, you know what, let's improvise, let's do a different pose. And that's when I most regret about it.
Okay, so you're learning not to improvise when it comes to the poses.
Exactly, and sometimes I like to wear some props, like high heels, and it's very hard to hold a pose on high heels.
Yes, I can imagine.
As you can imagine,
yeah. What do you love doing about it, Philip? Felipe, why do you love doing it?
Because it's incredible. Because it's an environment that it's all about body positive, inclusion, and representation. Because all body types are welcome and celebrated, and people from different ethnicities, backgrounds, genders, sexual orientations and sexual identities, everyone is embraced and are welcome to be part of a life drawing class. And so I love being able to tell stories, you know, because we have been living in conservative times, you know. So it's wonderful being able to feel safe in a room, you know. For instance, there is a wonderful life drawing class here in Melbourne that I love, that is Gay Life Drawing, Gay Life Drawing Melbourne. You can look on Instagram. It's managed by Jean-Luc, that he also runs Top Secret Life Drawing. And he creates an environment where you can feel safe, you can express yourself. Just like I just told you, sometimes I like to use high heels or different props, and I feel safe. I feel celebrated in a room that I know that nobody will be judging me.
Yeah,
it's the opposite of that. Everyone will be celebrating.
Look, and just quickly before you go, because we've only got a minute left, what's it like? Do you get to see the drawings afterwards?
Yes, I do, and I love this part, you know. I love to see the different drawings, and I feel really happy and honored when I see different drawings created from my image, because it's pretty amazing to see how every artist has their own way of capturing
them. Yeah.
There's no two drawings ever will look the same.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Look, Felipe, it's been so good to talk to you tonight. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. I hope that you guys are able to attend to different life drawing classes here in Australia.
Felipe there, who's a life model here on ABC Radio.
This is Nightlife with James Finlay on ABC Radio.